This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli. Watch the green
bats tumble. Hour number two of the USA Prepares. Class, the broadcast quality is down considerably because the internet is down. And I've already mentioned that the local county newspaper that's 8 pages long devoted one whole page of the weekly newspaper. It only comes out once a week. And 1/8 of the newspaper was devoted to the lousy, lousy telecommunications services that CenturyLink provides. And here's just one more example. It just went down right at the tail end of the previous hour. So this hour, I will be connected via plain old telephone service, not through the internet as we usually do. Steve Elkins is with us. He's an ICU nurse, an ER nurse. And, Steve, there's a woman who was morbidly obese, 596 pounds. And this woman could do two things. She could eat and sleep by herself. Everything else required care. So that meant that she could not relieve herself by herself. I mean, she could relieve herself, but she couldn't wipe. She couldn't clean herself. It required many people to help her. And all she did was lie in bed. And so she had this, she used to weigh 751. Have you ever seen anything like this?
I have, many times. My last time I saw it was in Eureka, California. I was called into the ER. Actually, they went up on the floor and they found some of the bigger guys. They said, I need you, down the ER right now, stat. So we go down the ER, and I walk into the ER, and there's a bunch of firemen down there with a big giant tarp. And I look over on this gurney, this very large woman that's overlapping the gurney, and people on both sides to make sure she doesn't fall off. And she weighed over 800. And we had to move her, put her on a military tarp, this heavy grade tarp, to move her to another gurney, a bigger gurney. I've seen this several times. And these people, she didn't actually live very long. She lived a couple more months. But the congestive heart failure issues, the pulmonary issues, they all have sleep apnea. And this woman, all she did was, she never left the house. People used to bring her food. They basically cater to her, and she just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah, I've seen it several times.
So, Steve, if you were to hypothecate as to the cause for this morbid obesity in this woman that you're talking about, that you had firsthand experience with, what would you say it is? What is the cause? What are the main causes?
You know, some people treat their depression in different ways. Some people do other behaviors. Some people just eat away. That's the way of coping with their pressure, their depression, their problems. And my guess is this woman, I believe she did have a mental illness. She was something wrong with her, but she was an eating machine, and she was filthy, and she was growing yeast everywhere, and she had numerous health problems, and one that finally took her life. And she was very young. She was in her early 40s. I'd say probably depression, people eating through their depression, a lot of it.
When someone gets to be 800 pounds, they had to pass through 700, 600, 500, 400, 300, which is still a lot, to get there.
Yeah.
Do you think that that they realized that, boy, you know, I used to be 150, you know, before I was 200. And yeah. Do you think they realize that they are doing this and each day is more weight than yesterday? Do you think they realize it, or does it creep up on them and they have no idea how this happens?
You know, when you get to that size, your metabolism slows down and everything you eat pretty much sticks to you, to your ribs. I would think the numerous changing in sizes of clothes and having to buy more clothes and more clothes and more clothes would be the deterrent to say, you know what, I'm going to spend a fortune on getting new clothes. I mean, I look in the mirror, and if my jeans are just a little bit tight or something, I say, you know what, I need to scale back a little bit, cut back on something, and exercise more or do something else to lose that little bit of weight. I don't go out and buy new clothes. I just simply say, you know what, I got to do a couple things, adjustments here, and I'll lose the weight, and I'll be fine again. And that's what I do. Evidently, some people don't do that, and they just keep buying more. And, of course, they invented stretch pants and spandex, so you can stretch quite a bit into those spandex and those stretch pants.
Mrs. Spinelli and our son and I went into one of those thrift stores.
Mm-hmm.
It was Habitat for Humanity. Mm-hmm. And I walked in. I was behind them. I was looking at something else, and they walked in first. And as soon as I walked in, they said to me, there's something here that we know you're going to want to buy. And I looked right over, and I said, there was a scale. There was a hospital scale. I'm talking about a balance beam scale, the kind that they'd used in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And I saw it, and I went right over to it, and that's what they were talking about. And it was brand new. This thing was calibrated. It was brand new. It was from the local hospital, and they were getting rid of it. And I think they were getting rid of it because it was functionally obsolete. I believe it only went to 250 or 300 pounds, probably
yeah.
300.
Yeah.
I think that scale was not usable in today's world because it only went to 300 pounds. Does that make sense to you, or do you have
well,
to
you know, it, you know, like hospitals act like government sometimes. You know, they have a budget, and to increase their budgets, they have to get rid of the equipment, and whether it's necessary or not. Sometimes they might say, well, we're updating, we need better equipment, and this isn't necessary, and this is obsolete now, we'll get rid of it, and we'll get something high-tech. It's a way to boost your budgets. Government does this all the time. But, you know, talking about these huge, massive people, and these people are getting bigger and bigger. I mean, 300, 350 is not a big deal anymore. I see these kind of people size all the time. That's getting to be common, normal. Excuse me. But our Hoyer lift, we have a Hoyer lift where I can pick a patient up and move them. They only go to about 300 to 350 max. So you have to use a lot of personnel to move somebody who's 800 pounds or more.
I just
and then you get
over,
injury. You get a lot of injury problems.
While we're talking, it's 300 plus 50, so it's 350 pounds. But I think it's functionally obsolete in a lot of cases. This particular scale, I use it every day. I love it. I mean, this is one of those, it measures your height. It has the height attachment. It's got the, I mean, this is the old-fashioned, and maybe it just takes a little too long to get it right. Maybe the new crew just graduating and entering the medical profession doesn't understand that, you know, it's not like a smartphone. You actually have to know how to slide the weights over to get the balance beam to work. Maybe it's too complicated for the new group. I don't know, but, boy, I'm so glad they got rid of it because I really like it. Well, I've used the Hoyer lift. I know it is. And, class, let me just explain this. So this lift is, if you've ever seen an engine crane,
yep.
It's got a base. It's got some wheels. You can wheel it around because it's a pretty substantial piece of gear. It's got a hydraulic cylinder that you pump up, and it's got a long arm. And it's got a chain on the end of the arm, and you can put a sling on there, and you can put a person, put a tarp or I'm sure there's a specialized piece of gear for that, and you put it under the patient, and you hook the chains to it, and then you crank it up with the lever on the hydraulic cylinder, and it's like lifting an engine out of a car.
Yep.
I mean, there's not much difference. The Hoyer lift would be stainless steel and probably 50 times more expensive than the lift we used to pull an engine out of the car, but it's exactly the same principle.
Yeah, same one.
So I have a relative who was a nurse all her life. That's all she ever wanted to be. Loved doing it. but she used to complain about her back. Now, she's not a little girl, so she's not a, you know, 125-pound girl. She's, you know, more like 160, you know, bigger girl. And she was having trouble flipping and rolling over patients because the patients, you know, were three, four times her size.
That's a problem with females in the field. That's why we guys in the field are always getting called, hey, can you help me turn this patient, because they can't do it. And they're definitely limited. Most women are limited, and they call on us. And I get no hazard pay for what I do. And I tell you what, I've been hurt a couple times, and you saw me. I'm not a skinny weakling. I'm a pretty strong guy. But you talk about enrolling a 500 or 600 or up to 800-pound person, that you're going to need some guys, you're going to need some muscle, and you're going to have a routine of how to do it. There's a sequence how to do it. And you're going to have to be careful, because you can still get hurt. And I guarantee you, if something goes really wrong and you were to lose control of somebody that big, the momentum of that person, well, you're looking at a huge lawsuit, that's for sure. But I've been hurt a couple times, a few times. So it's very dangerous, and I know that most females can't handle something that way. They can't do it.
You know, you mentioned hazard pay.
Mm-hmm.
In all seriousness, what are the hazards that you are exposed to that really make being a nurse risky for you and your family?
I'd say radiation exposure. I do wear a lead vest if I go into any procedure rooms where we're using, you know, the scanning devices. That's a risk. I'm finding that a lot of guys who work in the cath lab have to wear these lead aprons all the time, and they're constantly leaning over. They're getting cervical problems, neck problems, displacement, subluxation, things like that. There's always the hazard of needle sticks. You got to be very, very careful with the needle sticks. Definitely the musculature from lifting and turning people, that's an injury. That's what's forcing a lot of people out nowadays. The older nurses are saying, I'm out of here. If they haven't gone into administration yet, they're saying, I'm leaving the bedside, and I've done my time at the bedside in the war zone. I'm going to do administration, and then I'm going to retire. So those are the top ones I can think of offhand. It's hard. If you do 12-hour shifts and the sleeping, and if you work a night shift, and of course we have two shifts, the night shift, and you have to change your sleep patterns, and that's not good on your immune system. I can tell you right now, that's going to shorten your life. Working nights all the time, it's going to shorten your life. Not good.
I know a nurse who was taking a patient's blood. This was probably 30 years ago. And she jabbed the patient as normally would be done, nothing out of the ordinary. The patient flinched, and that was right after he was stuck. The needle went into the nurse, and she got hepatitis.
Mm.
Just like that.
Yeah. Known a couple cases like that. Seen a couple. I've always been very, very cautious. I have a certain way that I do things, and I've never, ever been in that situation. But I've seen it, and I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going a break, and we're going to be right back after these few short commercial announcements.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Hey, we're talking about preparedness today. Steve Elkins is with us. He's an ICU nurse, an ER nurse. And we've been talking about how dangerous it is being a nurse. Steve, so what can you bring back to your family from the patients? What risks do you become exposed to that unwittingly you may bring back to your wife?
Well, she's a nurse also, you know, Vincent, so we got double exposure here in my household. But with the, I'm going to say with the increase of homelessness in this country now, we've seen some great video footage, and it's really, really sad to see some of these major cities like Los Angeles and Oakland, and I think Seattle had one now, has a big problem with homelessness in the camps. And the homeless are coming in, and they're positive for TB, tuberculosis. So that's a worry. Whenever I care for somebody who's homeless, I'm taking precaution. I'm wearing a respirator, a certain type I have, and I'm just going to assume that they may be positive because, the alternative is, I'm tested here and there, but if you come positive, then you're going to be put on a medication, and it's a year-long regimen of taking the pill every day. So that's a hazard that's increasing TB in the homeless crowd.
I was at Habitat for Humanity, and it seems like hospitals get rid of really good stuff. And they had cases of these surgical masks.
Yeah.
And they were, I think, 5,000 of them, mm-hmm, for $5.
Good deal.
That's what I thought. So
you're going to send me some, right?
Do you need some?
No, I've got a ton. But I would buy them for $5 for 5,000. They come in handy. Yeah, I would buy them.
Sure. And so we have those. So what precautions should the general public take when they go to the hospital? Okay, so a loved one or a friend's been admitted for whatever the reason, okay, and now it's visitation time, and many people feel it necessary to perk up the spirits of the hospitalized person. What are the risks for the visitors, and what precautions would you recommend that visitors take?
Well, it all depends on the diagnosis. If it's, you know, if it's nothing that's communicable, called disease or something like that, you never have to worry about that. I think one of the things that I would suggest to family members is to actually, I mean, doctors come in, they give you 10 minutes, 15 minutes tops to talk to you, the patient. Family members are usually not there, so you need to schedule that time to be there when the physician is actually there, because what I find is that the patient is sick. He's in a different environment. He's out of his own element now. He's stressed, and much of what he is told about his condition and his progress or his treatment modality possibilities kind of goes in one ear out the other. He's in overload, so he doesn't quite absorb it. So if you ask him later on, when family come in and ask, well, what did he say to you? The doctor said, well, he said a lot of things, and I'm not sure. I got a little bit here and there. So what I suggest is family members finding out the time when the doctor does his rotations and being there at that time, several of you, sit down and talk to the physician and get it all. Everybody gets informed of what's going on, the situation, and what the treatment modalities and possibilities are. The lack of information is, it can hurt your situation. And you definitely have to ask a lot of questions these days.
And what I was thinking about is just walking into the hospital. It's like a building full of diseases, right?
Mm-hmm.
Airborne.
Yeah, it can be. And we got a serious problem with Staph aureus, and you've probably heard about that quite a bit. Surgical people, and even though they scrub here and there, staph, and of course, fungal infections are up. Just coming in, washing your hands. I got to say, one of the biggest things I did a show once about how to try to stay healthy during the flu season, the determined flu season that they always tell us it's coming up, and so they push their vaccine. But there are so many things we could do, and one of the basic things we could do is proper hand washing and making sure that our hands are clean and not putting it in our mouth and exposing these bacteria, these germs to our immune system. So I'd say hand washing is number one right off the bat.
All right. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. breaking news as the Supreme Court's announced it will consider appeals concerning DACA, the Obama-era policy protecting Dreamers, which are the millions of young Americans who were brought into the United States illegally as children. The Trump administration appealing rulings blocking attempts to repeal the program. The High Court will recess for the summer, so the case won't actually be heard until this fall. President Trump is still in Osaka, Japan for the G20 summit, and tomorrow he'll be meeting there with the Chinese president, with trade at the top of the agenda. Today, Trump met with Russia's President Vladimir Putin, and during a photo opportunity, when asked if he had told Putin not to meddle in the 2020 election, the president wagged his finger at Putin and said, "Please don't meddle in our elections." This is USA Radio News.
Between the unbeatable performance and lower operating costs, electric cars are going places like never before. In fact, a survey by Drive Change Drive Electric tells us that 8 out of 10 Northeasterners agree electric is the future of automobiles. Travel expert Zach Houghton.
The vast majority of Northeast drivers, about 3 in 4, believe it's important to move towards electric cars, and 88% also want to reduce their vehicle emissions. So while drivers are interested in these cars, the problem is that most of them don't understand how and where to charge or even realize that charging stations are available to them.
Houghton told us a new campaign called Destination Electric hopes to change all that by celebrating businesses that support driving electric in communities across the Northeast.
Destination Electric businesses all have a storefront decal to alert visitors that charging is nearby. So far, over 100 local businesses have joined Destination Electric to demonstrate their support for electric cars and to let their customers know that they could be charging while they visit.
Visit Drive Electric US to learn more.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Watch it. It's gonna be sliding.
Order today's hot.
What? Today I've got your.
Take my.
When you go to
the
season.
For 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Steve Elkins is with us, and we're talking about health. He's a an ER nurse and an ICU nurse. Steve, as I think about restaurants, I think about the waitress or the waiter coming up to the table, scratching his or her head, scalp, ears, nose, mouth, and then saying, "May I take your order?" And, of course, my answer is no. No. Thank you anyway. And then I leave. What about those kinds of things that visitors at the hospital may do. You know, just rub their nose. But before that, they pushed open the door. They used the elevator up button or the down button or selected the floor or used the restroom handle, you know, doorknob, those kinds of things. What are the risks of just transmitting infection disease from touch? And then
very high. Very high. I was just going to mention that on coming back out of the break that wash your hands, wash them frequently with soap and water to get the debris off, and then maybe use the alcohol sanitizers they have there in the hospital, too. They're actually pretty available nowadays. But, yeah, these door handles, they've actually done some tests on the door handles, the drapes, all kinds of apparatus that you would not think about it, and you're right. I forget the statistics on people. Men are especially really bad at this. I don't know why. Women are a little bit better, but the hand washing after going to the bathroom, I don't know why. That's not something that people practice. It's just like, I mean, I go to the men's room and you see somebody just kind of walk out and say, wait a minute, you didn't wash your hands. It's all too frequent, so keeping that in mind, yeah, those door handles, anything that's tactile you have to touch. I'm very hesitant about touching those things, and if I do, I'm washing my hands right after. I'm not a germaphobe, but I just know the importance of proper hand washing and not transmitting to other places.
And if you look down, as you approach the urinal, you'll probably find that the next step that you take is going to be a wet one, and then you're going to walk through. Wherever you walk, now you are carrying that urine from the previous users of the urinal wherever you go, and then maybe even back into your home. So just, you know, watch your step. How about that?
Yeah, that's true. And that which brings the question, where are all those drips coming from? Why is that happening? Well, you get all these old men who have enlarged prostates, and they can't relieve their bladders kind of completely, so they get a little dribble effect there going. And so that little, just below the urinal itself, there's a puddle. Yeah, you're right. And you got to watch your feet, straddle that thing, and you're going to track it all over the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, and bring it to your car. And bring it back home.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that also because I have a practice in my house. My work shoes do not come in the house. They stay outside. They will never make it in the house because I do not want to track anything that I might have stepped in, walked in, into my home. So that in that situation, I'd say leave your shoes out in the garage.
I had a customer in Virginia. They made carbon brushes for electric motors, for starters, alternators, electric motors of all kinds. So there was a lot of carbon in the air. And the carpeting in this particular factory in the administrative offices was black. The molding was painted black because everything, there was carbon everywhere, just black carbon everywhere. And the employees would have two sets of footwear, one that they would wear at the factory, which was black, typically black lace-up sneakers or boots, black. If they didn't start out black, they'd be black, so they might as well just start out black. And when they would walk to the car at the end of their work day, they would sit in the front seat of the car, feet outside on the parking lot, and they would have a bag, and they would take their shoes, put them in a bag, and then put the, you know, plastic bag, and then put the bag in the back of the back seat of the car on the floor by the back seat, and they would put on another pair of shoes that they would wear after work. So they did not want that coming home. They didn't want to destroy their house, their car, and that's a good visual for what we should be thinking about when we work in those kinds of situations as you do. What are your thoughts about mold being a cause of illness, mold in air conditioning systems, heating ducts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can go back to the days of in Indianapolis where we talked about Legionnaires' disease. It happened in a hotel downtown Indianapolis. So water sources and then stagnant water will grow mold and mold spores will reproduce. That's a huge problem, yeah. You know, I'm going to give you a little story here real quick in that how hospital administrations rarely listen to the staff. We have some pretty good ideas, and we're very health conscious. It's always amazing that the ones who are in charge never are health conscious. They don't have the medical backgrounds we do. But there was a hospital I worked at out in California that decided cosmetically they thought this will be nice, appeasing to the customers. That's what they are, customers. But they decided to put carpet, this really, really low carpet, in the hallways all the way through the hospital. And it's so funny because they did not think this through. First of all, it's a hazard because not only is it's carpet, it's going to have a hard time with the gurneys, pushing the gurneys, but it's also going to absorb like a sponge. And we know there's all kinds of things dripping in hospitals and IV bags and things that are coming out of other bags, urine bags, whatever. And so these things get to be sponges. And so what the hospital is worried about an infection rate, why in the heck are they putting carpet in their hospitals? So we told them about it. Don't do it. Don't do it. They didn't listen. They put it in. Infection rates started going up. They started saying, hey, I think these nurses know something we don't know. We shouldn't have done this. But before they got to that point, because that was a little bit of embarrassment for them, so that was one thing they had. They knew that they made a mistake. It turned out to be a sponge and a bacteria trap. They decided, well, you came and pushed the gurneys on these carpets. They're just so heavy. They hold down everything. They kind of stick. So what do? They spend a lot of money on these really expensive battery-controlled gurneys that you just push a button and it actually pulls it across the carpet. So they spend all this money to put it in for beautification and for the public to be impressed that their hospital is such a beautiful place, but at the same time they were also causing another problem of infections. So, excuse me, bottom end,
like
they took it all out,
really
ripped it all out, put back tiles in, tiles that you can actually mop the floor with sanitizer, and remember what a hospital really is. It's a place to come to get healing, you know, or treatment. And so forget this whole thing of looking beautiful and all this stuff. That doesn't matter. Results matter. So they got back to their doing the right things.
You know, you mentioned curtains before.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, and I may be wrong, but I don't think so, that curtains between, like, let's say you have a semi-private room, meaning two patients in the same room, but there's a dividing curtain for privacy.
Right.
I'll bet you they don't get cleaned very often, do they?
They don't. They don't. I brought that to their attention once, too, and thought I'd like to do my, if I was going to go for my, my master's, I wanted to do a little testing here and actually get some of the curtains and then have them tested by a lab. My guess is they're not, and I think they supposedly say once every 6 months. I don't buy that. And I've mentioned that they're a bacteria trap also, because if you do something, and even what you do, let's say you're doing a procedure with gloves, I always take my gloves off, throw them away, wash my hands again, walk out, do the curtain. But a lot of people may not do that. They may actually do the procedure, their hands are tainted, they come out, they close the curtain, open the curtain up, walk out, dispose of their gloves outside the room, which you should never do. It's practice, but a lot of people have bad practice. So then you're actually creating more of a problem there. So I suggested going to a kind of a plastic, even if a colored plastic, so you can have privacy, and something that could be sprayed and wiped down pretty easy. And it never happened. My suggestions never were taken serious, I guess.
Well, I'm thinking about, as you're mentioning this, I'm thinking about the gal. Usually it's a gal, young person, walks around with the blood pressure equipment. Mm-hmm. And that so many times in doctor's offices, not necessarily hospitals, but in doctor's offices, you get the blood pressure cuff that was used by the 5,000 people before you.
Yeah, actually what they've done now, they've gone to, evidently they've listened to us on that one, and that they're really inexpensive, the cuffs, the plastic cuffs to throw away, that we've actually left one in the room, and it's just for that patient. And even if you walk into a clinic, they should put a new one on and put it on you. If they don't, they probably do sanitize it with some kind of spray and wipe it down. At least that's something. But hospitals have gone to basically issuing you, every patient, a disposable cuff that'll be, you can replace them anytime you want to, but for the life that you're there in the hospital, the time you're there in the hospital, you have your own cuff.
And I'm thinking about the hospital, HVAC system, heating, ventilation, cooling system. It seems to me like everybody's breathing the same air. So if you're down the hall from somebody with TB, you're going to be breathing the same air as that patient with TB, whether you're a visitor or a patient or a hospital employee, right?
Okay, well, let me correct you on that one, because what we have in the hospital and the ICU, we call them negative pressure rooms. The air does not circulate with the general population of any other room. So if anybody has a respiratory disease, a respiratory pathogen there like TB, they are put in a negative isolation room, and their filtration is totally different from the rest of the hospital. But there's only so many of those rooms. That's the problem, is we're seeing more of those TB patients, but we don't have as many negative flow rooms, they call them negative flow rooms, in the hospital that we should have. We probably need to have a lot more of those. So that's a little myth if you think, if they're diagnosed that their air is being circulated in the rest of the hospital or in other rooms, it's not. If they're in a negative flow room.
Yeah, and I've seen patients where they have these signs on the door that let you know that, yes, this is a communicable disease patient, and they did not have enough of those negative pressure rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have seen that. And, of course, you see the hospital staff, the nurses, take off. They'll wear these yellow, typically I've seen them as yellow, maybe there are other colors. They'll put on a gown to go visit the patient, and then they take the gown off and put it in a trash container right outside the patient's door. Is that typical procedure?
Normally, they should be taking that gown off, those yellow gowns, the Big Bird gown, inside the room. There's a special room there we would put all that stuff in, and then it's disposed of later on. It should not leave the room. Usually, those are the people that are positive C. difficile that we have to wear those gowns. And as a TB patient, actually, we wear a mask going in, and if we transport that patient anywhere in the hospital for procedure, that patient needs to wear a mask. That's not a choice. They have to have the mask on, because we can't have that those little critters floating around in the respirations, in the general air.
We come back, can we talk a little bit more about C. difficile, also known as C. diff?
Sure.
How you get it, what happens to you when you get it, and can you ever recover from it? Got to be right back with Steve Elkin, ICU nurse, ER nurse.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Steve Elkins is with us. He's a broadcaster on republicbroadcasting.org. And in the past, Steve has invited me to be on the and when he fills in for John Stadtmiller. And he and John Stadtmiller and I have all been on the air at the same time on John Stadtmiller's broadcast. So if you want to find out more about him, go to republicbroadcasting.org, and you can look at the schedule and find out when Steve's on. He's on the weekends. Steve, C. diff. C. diff is yeah. Absolutely miserable if someone contracts it. What is it, and what can you overcome it?
Well, it's Clostridium difficile, and they are spores, infectious spores found in fecal matter. They can also be found in air, respiratory droplets, water, soil, human feces, and animal feces. And basically, it is a serious problem in the hospital. We're seeing that along with the staph aureus. Hand washing is huge. Of course, there's two entrances a lot of times of this bacterium itself, either through the nose or through the mouth. So it is very serious. It can kill. It can be very life-threatening. And it is an ongoing problem in hospitals.
It might be likened to the runs. And, class, if you've ever smelled the most awful, foul-smelling defecation, there you have it. Is that close to being accurate?
Yeah, it's got a funky smell to it, no doubt. It's kind of like a GI bleed. It has a funky odor to it, too, the digestive blood coming out. Nasty smell. You'll never forget it. Once somebody points it out, this is C. difficile. The diarrhea, the fever, the pain, the abdominal pain. A lot of it's actually created by the overuse of an antibiotic, which I think a lot of physicians now are finally saying, you know, we had a problem with overuse of antibiotics and creating resistant bugs and critters like that. So hopefully that's getting better, that we're not overprescribing. And that problem will get a little bit better. But, you know, the antibiotics kill off the bacteria. They have good flora and you have bad flora. When they kill off the good flora in your gut, then you're more susceptible. And, of course, anybody who's immunocompromised, let's say if you're on chemotherapy, you're a good candidate to pick up C. difficile. So they're doing actually fecal transplants. It's something kind of new in the last couple of years. It sounds kind of nasty, but they actually put it in a capsule. And I can't imagine. I had a friend who actually did it and took the capsule and swallowed it, and I think you just swallowed a capsule of poo. That's supposed to dissolve in the colon there in the small bowel and hopefully give her, reintroduce good flora into her gut and get rid of her C. diff problem. So that's the newest technology that I know of.
Steve, I hope we'll have a chance to do many more of these broadcasts. I've got so many questions and have just great wisdom. So I hope you'll consider coming back again and again. I love broadcasting with you. I really do. Steve, you know, one of the questions that we all have is ER in the full moon. Is there a difference between just any other day of the month and a full moon experience in the emergency room?
There actually is. I can't put any science on it. It's just what I witnessed my own. A full moon night, we have more code blues. We have more violence, and we also have a lot more violence on hot, extreme hot days. And I think you see that across the country. I think there's an irritability factor on the heat one, but the heat index, people get very irritable and they get violent. But we have no explanation. There are more babies that are being born. Actually, in the hospital, we play a little nursery rhyme for the birth of the baby overhead. And it's kind of a nice feeling. You go, oh, that little baby was just born right now, coming into the world. And you get one, and you get two more before the night is over. They're born in threes, and they die in threes. We don't know how that works. But I get three code blues, and I get three brand-new babies in the night. Can't explain it. Been doing it for 26 years, but I have no clue how that all works, but there's something there.
Well, I've long known about that it happens in threes. Deaths in a family, you know, one person will die and then another person will die and then a third person will die. And there is something too. It happens in threes, and I can't explain it either.
Yeah.
Steve, you mentioned diverticulitis. Well, there's also diverticulosis. Can you tell us quickly what is the difference between an itis and an osis?
Itis is actually inflammation. It's the inflammatory process. You can have diverticulitis, what you would call diverticulosis, because it's not in the inflammatory stage. When it becomes an inflammatory stage, it brings a lot of pain and suffering, which we know somebody that had that problem last week. Those little diverticuli pockets are basically packed with fecal matter that can't escape, and it becomes very irritative. And at a point where if they keep getting deeper and deeper, the pockets, the diverticuli, they'll actually punch through the colon wall. And then you have a situation where you're releasing now fecal matter into the general circulation and you get sepsis. So the itis, anything with itis, I-T-I-S, is inflammatory process.
Okay. Appendicitis. Okay. So, Steve, I'm looking forward to being back on the air with you again and again and again. Thank you so much for spending 2 hours of your day today with us here at USA Prepares. Absolutely brilliant broadcast. Again, thank you for being my friend as well.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.